Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Hey, before I get launched here, I got a couple things to share here. You hear in the middle of this program a solicitation, which is we have some faithful supporters, and I appreciate that. But I wanted to let you know, I think that we're going to make it easier. We're going to probably shut down the whole PayPal thing on the webpage, which really is kind of a hassle. I've never liked PayPal, and it's kind of a hassle. But we are going to give people opportunity. If they'd like to support us, then they could do it by way of Zelle. Now, I've only gotten this a couple of weeks ago, and I really can't believe just how efficient it is. If you've got Zelle, all you need is the phone number, which is 805-245-0634 for the program. That's 805-245-0634. Make sure you got it right. But anyway, it's an easy way to give. And so we're going to put that up on the website as well. So anyway, that, and if you want to just contact me for any other reason, you can at redskyradio777@gmail.com. That's redskyradio777@gmail.com. My wife tells me that if she had never met me before but only heard me on the air, she could tell I was from Michigan. By the way, I say .com. She said, I can't, whatever. She kind of accentuates it to make the point. She'd have to do it to, I don't know. We're talking to somebody on the phone we've never talked to, and she hears them. She said, "You're from Michigan, aren't you?" And they'll say, "Yes." I don't know how she picks it out, because I think Michigan is just like Ohio and Indiana and Illinois and that part of the Midwest. Well, it's not. She said, "No, I can tell people from western Wisconsin and Minnesota." They're going more of that scan. Well, anyway, I'm getting carried away on needless things. So let's get rolling here. I start with good news. It ends up where it ends up. So first thing I want to sign is, it deals with what President Trump signed, an executive order that is going to crack down on the woke banks that target conservatives. This is a big deal. There's no question but what banks are doing what's called debanking. In other words, they don't want to loan to, support in any way, shape, or form, or preferred banking services towards distinctively conservative organizations. It'd be like Focus on the Family or Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm not saying that they've been debanked, but those are the kinds of organizations. Or you could get to the NRA or gun stores, ammo stores. They definitely have discriminated against them. I am thrilled at this executive order. But if you've heard me for any time, even though I haven't said this for a little while, but I've said it frequently, that if you're going to buy guns, you're going to buy ammo, whatever you do, never, 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 you got it? Never, never, ever, 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 ever use a credit card. Forget the stinking airline miles or your rebate for that, because the minute you use a credit card for that purchase, then Visa, MasterCard, blah, 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 right on down the line, they know that what you're buying gun-wise, what kind of ammo you're buying, and whatever ammo you're buying, even if you lawfully possess a firearm that does not need to be registered. That's true in a lot of states. But now they know what you have by virtue of the ammo you buy. They don't need to know that. And I did a program before the election, probably a good year ago now, about how there was indication, evidence that these banks were sharing the content of these purchases dealing with ammo with the FBI. Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all, because that's the direction things are going. But, hey, God bless you, Donald, for doing this. Man, he is just kind of, he's doing so much. I really can't cover it. But there's something interesting I want to share. I didn't really hadn't planned on sharing this, but there is one way, and I think only one way that I could possibly think of, that Trump functions like Obama. And you go, what? Yes, in one particular area. So you go back to the Obama era, not Biden. Biden couldn't think fast enough. He couldn't act fast enough. He was too busy with ice cream and smelling women's hair and fondling 12 and 13-year-old girls. And it is fondling. You're rubbing their shoulders, some 12-year-old girl you don't know. It doesn't have to be a private part to be fondling. He was a fondler in chief. But Obama, here's the point. I digress quickly, don't I? Obama would do something horrible, terrible, unconstitutional, ridiculous, obviously doing something with Christians and conservatives in the crosshairs. You know, I'm talking about the ones who stick to the First and Second Amendment. Gosh, I'm sorry, Barack, that we love freedom of speech and freedom of religion and the right to keep and bear arms so much that you'd make fun of everybody who actually holds those truths to be self-evident. Well, they're not self-evident as in the Declaration of Independence, but they certainly are as being the primary amendments to the Bill of Rights, the First and Second Amendment. He would do things so rapid-fire that by the time conservative media would address one egregious act on his part on a Monday, trying to get cranked up and letting people know about it, he did something else on Thursday. The conservative media, as small as they are and as hard as we work, I'm a munchkin in the conservative world, but I'm doing my part. As soon as we could respond, and I only do one program a week of this nature, he would do something else. You could never catch up to the malfeasance, nonfeasance, and egregious, unconstitutional, and anti-Christian behavior of Barack Obama. You could catch up with Joe Biden because the handlers couldn't work as quite as fast as Obama would. So by the time you got to address one problem, the bomb, it would get trumped. It would get eclipsed by yet another issue. This is how Donald Trump has replicated that protocol, if you will, from Obama. He will do something that just sends the left into a tizzy. They can hardly stand it. They're out there twisting in their underwear in disdain and trying to come up with a vile tweet on a Tuesday for what he just did. And by Thursday, Trump's done something else. And then they're trying to go with that. I mean, there's so much for the View to talk about. There's actually too much for them to talk about. Because whatever they spend time on, 80% of what happened that week, they don't have time for that Trump is doing. It's a pretty effective strategy. How to stay ahead of your enemy, in which case is the media. And they can only absorb and put out so much so fast. And then Trump is on to something else. Okay. I just thought I'd share that. That was a kind of an insight last night that I had. But another next piece of good news. All right, so we got all this anti-ICE stuff. All right. Well, hey, I grew up in Michigan. I was anti-ICE too. I was anti-ICE from about early December to late March until the ice thawed. And even that's actually not quite true. I love ice fishing. So I love ice for the purposes of ice fishing. Nothing like a good cold freshwater bluegill or perch that you're eating about 2 or 3 hours later. And the nice thing about cleaning them in February is that there are no flies. Yay! No flies. Well, or mosquitoes. None of that kind of stuff. But no, I but in the respect of driving and all of that stuff, I was very anti-ice. Well, that's not not what the term is used for these days. The people that are, what, just the other day they set fire to the ice field office in Washington. It's going on everywhere, broken windows, mobs attacking ice vehicles. And these people just need to be run out. And if they have to, in defense of themselves, if they have to shoot them and kill them, so what? Because they're more than demonstrators at that point. We're talking a loosely organized, maybe not so loosely, but an organized to some degree. Isn't this a form of an insurrection? All the ICE agents, which are legitimate federal officers, doing what they legitimately have the authority to do, and that is to enforce the law against illegals. If they are these semi-coordinated attacks against them all around the country and then taking into their their web, the various governors and officials that are sold out, like this one chick, I'm sorry, I'm not going to even treat her nicely, from Texas, Democratic rep, the other day says, look, I'm a Guatemalan before I'm an American. Then get your stinking fat hiney lady out of here. Move it. Go back to Guatemala if that's what you want. Our country's going down a rat hole because of illegal immigration. And I'll tell you, I think everybody listening to me ought to have one or more firearms. Be trained. Use them legally, lawfully. Learn how to clean them, operate them, have enough ammo to fend off a horde. If they come to your house, like they came to the house of the legislator in Wisconsin the other day. Yeah. I can't think of his name right now. I actually didn't have it in my list of things to do here, because I'm still in the good news portion, technically, and I'll get to it in a minute. The guy is pro-life. He's pro-Israel. He's for enforcing the law. I mean, I remember that. I just don't recall the guy's name. And so what are these left-wing nerds? No, no, they're not nerds. That's not necessarily a derogatory term. Mostly because, well, I'm kind of a nerd. So I shouldn't say that. But anyway, all these left-wing whack jobs, they show up at the guy's house in his front yard with a cardboard coffin and his name on it, ringing cowbells and all the ways to make noise, hurling all sorts of obscenities at him in the front yard. And, you know, that's what that couple in St. Louis did about 3 or 4 years ago, when the horde showed up inside their gate-guarded community and the guys got out his AR-15 and his wife got out, I think, a .38 revolver to protect themselves. They got arrested. It took the guy tens and thousands of dollars just to get his two firearms back from the stinking St. Louis Police Department. And, Trump pardoned him. I just forgot about it. Trump pardoned that couple. They never should have been charged to begin with. But if you cannot get a firearm out to protect your property when you got a horde of BLM all the groups that came together, and right now I'm just thinking, Occupy Wall Street, those types show up in your front yard, and they could run you over by their virtue numbers. I don't know why you don't have the gun there to be able to defend yourself. I think what's going to probably have to happen, somebody's going to have to do that, properly defend themselves. They get arrested, they get convicted, and then have someone like Trump just simply pardon them. Pardon him right, which is interesting. I am all over the map here this morning. But Trump is doing so many things differently. It's unbelievable. His tariff diplomacy, which I support. Hey, Ireland, England, France, you bunch of weenies. If you are going to recognize a Palestinian state, we'll just bump our tariffs to 50%. Too bad, so sad. More of it. Same to you and more of it. I'm tariff diplomacy. I don't know if anybody's ever done it like this since, I think, FDR. I think maybe it was Teddy Roosevelt when you got to get back to tariff diplomacy. In other words, you get your way, what you want, diplomatically, or not so diplomatically, but in international and foreign relations by way of tariffs. You do this, which has nothing to do with you economically, then we're going to do that, or something along that line. So, but what Trump has done differently is than a lot of presidents. Typically, the presidents do not get into pardoning people until they're on their way out. They're completing their last term. They're not running for election. The last couple months, they start issuing pardons. Well, Trump started right out pardoning J6, which I support, and he's looking at all these pardons just as he goes down the line. Hey, you arrest this guy, maybe we'll pardon him. And I think it's given a measure of safety to conservatives to know that they can finally do some things that they have the constitutional right to do, but you get these whack job police departments in blue cities, I might add. They're not blue cities. They're actually code blue cities because they're on the verge of death. They got to be a little bit intimidated and think twice about, hey, how much money with a George Soros-funded prosecutor, how much time do we spend going after these conservatives if there seems to be about a 50% chance that knowledge of this case is going to get to Donald Trump and he'll simply pardon the party as soon as we convict him? Well, let's not waste our time and money on that. So that dynamic, I think, is giving more people the guts, frankly, to do and speak as they ought to do and speak. And they have a right to do and speak. But we've been functioning in fear. I don't, but a lot of people do, and I probably would at some point. I don't know. Haven't been tested to that degree. So we're behind the rocks, we're in the caves and hiding behind trees. Sort of like the Israelites who wouldn't come out and attack Goliath. Till David comes down and says, hey, is there not a cause? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the living God? Love that story. I love telling it. Well, this is technically still the good news portion, so I'm getting back to ICE and all the anti-ICE stuff, which you would think in the mainstream media would indicate and reflect that the majority of the people are against ICE. Not true. They have indicated that they need about 10,000 more ICE agents. Now, I'm all for that. You know, forget the IRS agents. Just move them over to the ICE. Or if they're already there, just shift their job description. I'm sorry, you're not going to harass people from Washington, D.C. We're going to send you to southern New Mexico. Oh, you quit? All right, we'll get somebody else. No problem. They need 10,000 agents. And after the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill, this piece is a year old. It is about 3 days old. There are now 78,000. Okay, they need 10,000. There are 78,000 brand new applicants to work for ICE. Now, I'm going to guess that some of these are probably insiders, BLM, Antifa. That's what I was trying to think of when I went to Occupy Wall Street. But Antifa, Occupy Wall Street, BLM, Muslims that hate America, which is most of them. They won't tell you that until they're in the majority, and then we're toast, like Europe is on the verge of being. But some of those will apply to be inside. There's always those dirty rats, right? Wasn't it Jimmy Cagney that said, all right, you dirty rat, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you like you got my big brother, you dirty rat. I think that was Jimmy Cagney. But in any case, there are always these insiders, these termites, that are working to destroy anything else that's been properly constructed. But they do it day and night, silently, creeping in and creeping out. I got to share this. When it pops in my head, I got to determine, is this a rabbit trail or something I should share? Many moons ago, when I did a short stint with a very, very well-known Wall Street brokerage firm, but I wasn't a broker. I worked in their wealth management, headed it up, a portion of it, their wealth management department. I was instructed to go pick up something from off from somebody's desk, and he was a young guy. He was an intern, and I knew that he was a Mormon. I didn't have any problem working with the Mormons. They were nice enough, clean enough, seemed to be honest enough. I got along fine, and there were quite a few of them that worked for this particular brokerage company in California. But while I was picking up something from his desk, he had just his email. He left it on. I read it. A sent email that he sent to another Mormon that said, "We are inside intel," meaning that there was a significant contingent of Mormons that had broken into the Intel Corporation. Not illegally, like breaking in the windows or doors, but they were inside key elements. Did I read it? Yeah, I did. And I couldn't believe it, but I kind of did believe it. It was sort of like it was an espionage kind of an operation. Now, I do know, and I'm not, trust me, I am in no way, shape, or form comparing Mormons to homosexuals. Although one of the biggest homosexual populations percentage-wise happens to be in Salt Lake City. But maybe that's coincidental. I don't know. I'm not making any comparison. However, I do know, and having read things from the Blade, which is a queer magazine and publication out of the Northwest, and a few others, that the queer community has one target inside corporate America, HR, human resources, so that if they can get in there, they can control the messaging that company has for who and what they want to do with their minority hires or what have you, supplier contracts. But most of all, in the hiring process, they can help make sure that more queers have jobs in that particular corporation. That is a fact. So you'll probably wonder, well, why am I talking about these arms of protecting your property? Because there could be more people like myself that probably could have some strong headwinds, particularly if we lose the election in 2028. But even before then, these organizations do not, the Antifa crowd, the BLM crowd, just the far left whack jobs, which are everywhere, do not seem to be intimidated. In fact, this whole ICE thing seems to have energized them across the whole United States to just attack anyone and everyone who is the least bit conservative. So this is a great news. 78,000 ICE applicants for 10,000 jobs. Why is that great? Well, that means because if you got 78,000 going after jobs for 10,000, it means that good people in the working in the federal government should be able to pick out the right people to be our enforcers of the law. So that's great news. Okay, now we're on to the, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Andy Biggs, a good congressman from my newer found home state of Arizona, has come out and he is pushing a resolution to declare a national debt emergency. A national debt emergency. I could not possibly support this more. Now, my concern is, I'm not sure that Trump supports it. See, he wants to reduce the debt, but he also wants to get other things done, and he wants the debt reduced after he's done being in office. And the reason I can say that, in part, is that we are making all this money on tariffs. We really are. We are, I don't know how many billions of dollars in the black we have been now, coming up on, well, I don't think we have the June numbers yet, but yeah, we do for 2 months, heading into 3 months, where we're running a surplus. Can you believe that? We're running a surplus. But it's floating this idea, possibly, of some sort of a rebate to the people. And that's nuts. It's absolutely stupid. We have $36 trillion in debt, and we're going to give money to people when we could be using that to pay down the debt. I've used this example before. You're $100,000 in debt, and you go on Wheel of Fortune, and you make $20,000. So you got $20,000 there, and you're $100,000 in debt that needs to be paid. Let me put this, and I'm talking about like mortgage payments, things of that sort. You got a ton of debt sitting on the credit cards, earning interest against you, not for you, charging you interest. And you deal with that $20,000 like it's newfound money, and you simply go out and buy a new car. That's nuts. This consumer mentality is what will bind us and keep us in debt forever. And frankly, it will be ultimately the downfall of America. Debt is bondage. I'm going to quote a Bible verse here that's applicable. The borrower is a servant of the lender. The borrower is servant of the lender. You owe somebody money, owe them a lot of money. Who's in control? They are. Do this or we'll repossess your car. Oh, we'll have to foreclose on your house. Well, we'll give you forbearance here for this for a while if you do this or that. China, this is, you know, people wonder, well, if we're so ridiculously in debt, why would China buy any more of our treasuries? Why would they continue to run the risk of being a creditor without access to collecting on the debt? Well, they do collect on the debt. What we do pay, many of them come over here and buy our farmland, buy our businesses, buy the chicken companies. Isn't Tyson or one of those companies, I can't think now, maybe it's not Tyson, owned by the Chinese or a Chinese corporation? If we are so up to our eyeballs in hock and we owe them, what about the scripture? The borrower is servant of the lender. They have us right where they want us, totally and completely indebted to them. Just like they throw a bunch of money at these universities. Universities do whatever the heck they want. I think we should keep out all Chinese students. Forget it. Hey, you want a good education, let your own country build a university that will teach you this stuff. How many foreign students are actually CCP agents? A ridiculous number. Majority? Probably not. But a significant minority. So we have got to deal with the debt. We cannot start giving rebates to a country that's already in hock. How badly are we in hock? The debt, I hope you're sitting down here. The debt works out to, in this country, 100 and rounding up just a tad, about $105,000 per person. Per person. This includes illegals. This includes one-year-olds. And to make it even more poignant and how intolerable this is, who is going to pay the debt? Well, ultimately, it has to be taxpayers, right? Yeah. What is the debt, national debt, right now, today, per taxpayer? I hope you're sitting down. The debt per taxpayer is $323,045. So while you're sitting down, just get your checkbook out and write a check to the IRS for $323,045. That's what you as a taxpayer owe in the national debt. It's not recoverable. We are totally and royally screwed. But we can at least try to take it down, and that's what we should be doing any excess from the tariffs about. I understand Elon Musk's frustration in one respect. We're doing all this work to take the debt down, and then we're not taking the debt down, either by new spending or what have you. Don't go away. This is Robin Walter with Red Sky Radio and the Robin Walter Show. I'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I think God must be a cowboy at heart. He made wide open spaces from the start. He made grass and trees and mountains and a horse to be a friend. And trails to lead old cowboys home again.
Okay, we are back. Love that song. God must be a cowboy. Oh, boy. I love it. Okay, I mentioned earlier in the program about Trump hitting, or is being urged, encouraged to hit Britain, Ireland, and France with tariffs for their part in, quote, rewarding terror, end quote, by recognizing a Palestinian state. Gaza, I don't care if it gets leveled. It belongs to Israel, biblically, always has. All right? The whole thing, I mean, Gaza was the home of the Philistines. For those of you who know the Bible, that should tell you all you really need to know. And not much has changed. France, which is just basically a collective of morons, in my opinion. They've been a huge ally in the past. But I think going into any kind of a battle with the French these days is sort of like going into battle with a platoon of accordion players. They are so screwed up. They want a lot of wine and a really short work week. And the way that they can accomplish what they think that they is good is by letting in 8 gazillion Muslims. And now they've opened up their borders to all the Palestinians if they want to come. I think they're over the edge anyway, so let them have them. And then, let Trump and Netanyahu build that fabulous resort on the coast of the Mediterranean, once known as Gaza. I'm all for that. I think it's cool. But there's something I just want to bring out here, that this hatred, I mean, you can see the hatred. I don't have the Bible verses in front of me. I probably should. I've had more either rabbit trails or epiphanies today. You can decide. But all the passages in the scripture that deal with God blessing those that bless Israel and cursing those that curse Israel. I mean, it's in several places in Genesis, beginning with Abraham, and then it's also with Isaac. But then it shows up in Numbers again, well after Jacob. It's repeated a number of times. And you about this thing about cursing, you can get in this thing about who's really Israel. Well, the closest thing we have to it really today is what geographically is Israel. And we know biblically the boundaries of the biblical Israel. God lays them out in Scripture. From the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean and down to, I mean, I can't repeat it here at this point. And Israel does not occupy all of that which was designated to be Israel's back in Scripture. In fact, it wasn't just from the Dead Sea. It went to the east of that, to the Euphrates, if I'm not mistaken. But I could be wrong on that, but I do know for a fact it's an area much larger than it presently occupies. And it definitely includes everything that presently is called Gaza. That's Israel's. It belongs to them. If France wants them, go take them, France. Just don't think that you've got visa privileges as French citizens now to come here to the U.S. No, you don't. We got to start enforcing that. But this hatred against the Jews goes back, obviously, to biblical times. It's very, very clear. I don't know anybody who says that's not true. Honestly, really does not know Scripture. But I was just thinking this morning, you know, JFK, I was alive when JFK was assassinated. And then in 68, I actually remember Bobby Kennedy's assassination in Los Angeles better than JFK's, because that was 63. But he's running for president. And who was it that killed Bobby Kennedy? Anybody that know? Raise your hand. Sirhan Sirhan. That's right. It was a Muslim. In 1968, almost 50 years ago, we got a Muslim who kills Bobby Kennedy. And why? Because JFK and Bobby Kennedy had the same political perspective and viewpoint. They were each famously supported by American Jews. JFK was a huge supporter of Israel. Bobby Kennedy, from what we know about him, was as well, had no reason to be any different than JFK. And so a Muslim assassinates him. So this is nothing new. That was a little bold back then, but they haven't quit. And enough on that one. But there's something else here on this particular topic that I'm going to call it a revelation. I really do think this was from God. I just, you know, some things I think are. I'm not like the Ghostbusters. You know, I'm here on a mission from God. Though the fact of the matter is, if you're born again, you and I and everybody else are actually here on a mission from God. We've been given a task. Whether we are obedient to it, whether we perform it, is a whole other story. And I suppose once you complete it to perfection, you'll be called home. So maybe that's why I'm still alive, because I still haven't fulfilled what God's called me to do. That's about the way I could see it. But it's very clear from Scripture the Jews returned to Israel. God calls them back, and it's come in sort of waves. And in fact, I wrote a song the other night. I was kind of down, but I wrote a song that dealt with the first verse being return to Israel when they came out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage. And what triggered the song, and I wrote it to this tune. I didn't write the music. I only changed the lyrics, which is what I do. I write some songs, both lyrics and musically, but sometimes I just change the lyrics to existing songs. And for those of you old enough, and those of you who aren't, you can go listen to it. The song by Joe South. I always had a hard time singing it because the grammar was incorrect. My mother was an English teacher, and I felt like I'd get my ears boxed if I sang it out loud around her. But it was, Don't It Make You Want to Go Home. Do you remember that song? Don't It Make You Want to Go Home Now? Don't It Make You Want to Go Home? All of God's children get weary when they roam now. Don't It Make You Want to Go Home? Well, I changed the lyrics. And the first verse deals with the Jews leaving Israel and after 400 years of bondage. And I changed the chorus line a little bit. Didn't it make them want to go home now? I had to correct the English somewhere. And I could do it because it was past tense. Then the second verse deals with the Holocaust. And didn't it make them want to go home? I mean, the Jewish state was formed as a result of the Holocaust. And all the Jews that came back from Germany and Western Europe, and then later on from Russia as the pogroms picked up, not pilgrims, pogroms, pogroms that created pilgrims, if you will. And it's happening. Well, there are more to be called back to Israel. Scripture is very clear about that. And the thought that I had in the middle of the night, I got up, I wrote it down. I'm looking at the piece of paper right now that I wrote it down on. What has ever caused Jews to return to Israel? What? There's only one thing. Persecution. Persecution is the only thing that has caused them, at least en masse. There are some I know that are called, they feel called to go back there and do this or that. Great. Aliyah, I think it's A-L-I-Y-A-H, the return. I mean, it could be the Hebrew for returning to the motherland or the fatherland or whatever you want to call it. The Holy Land. The Aliyah. So there have been those that have returned for that. But the larger scale, emigration from countries, immigration to Israel, has been the result of persecution. So my thought was simply this. If, in fact, it takes persecution to return all these Jews to Israel, which I think it does, there's a lot more that got to return, many more, then that means that there has to be persecution that arises in places where there are high concentration of Jews to send them back to Israel. What country has the most Jews in the world? It isn't Israel. I think Israel has 7.2 million. It's the United States. The United States has the most Jews, which tells me that for the Jews in the United States to actually want to go back to Israel, maybe in the sense of fleeing, as many are currently fleeing the turning into anti-Semitic regimes of Western Europe because they've let the Muslims come in and dictate policy. Oh, they're afraid of getting beheaded, so they just go along basically with what they want, a real soft approach. And the soft approach is to let more in. The Muslims have 10 times as many kids as the Frenchmen, native Frenchmen have, because they're too busy with their wine and their 30-hour work week. So what conclusion can we draw from this? The persecution in the United States will increase and increase and increase and increase against the Jews. Now, a collateral damage in that whole thing is to Christians, because the Antichrist comes after Jews and Christians. Very clear in Revelation. But the persecution against the Jews increases as the numbers shift. How long will it be in the United States before Muslims outnumber Jews? I think it's like 2035. I think it's 10 years. Maybe 15 or something. It's not very long. A very good possibility that's within our present lifetimes. And the left already occupied by Jew haters. Every Jew-hating congressman is a Democrat. They don't have the guts. Mamdani, the Muslim whack job mayoral candidate in New York, will not repudiate or refuse the globalize the infatada, which means let's get rid of Israel, let's get rid of Jews. From the river to the sea means nothing more than the complete extermination of Jews and Jewish influence in the world. Nothing has really changed. We just don't call them Philistines anymore. That's all that's different. So the persecution picks up because there are more of them. They have greater seats of power, Minnesota, the Detroit area, New York City. In the cities, that's where they congregate. And they become a move from accommodating them to becoming an intimidating force because nobody dares to stand up for them. I'll tell you why most Muslims vote Democrat. Because they know that the Democrat Party, not because they believe in queer sex, they don't. Not because they believe in queer marriage, because they don't. Not because they believe in abortion, because they don't. Not because they believe in bodily mutilation and gender transitioning, so-called, They hate and despise that stuff. And once in control, they'll be throwing queers and everybody else off the top of buildings. So that's what they do. But they will accommodate that left-wing mentality because the left will accommodate them. And the more, the merrier to the left. They're fine letting in Muslims with a belief that they are going to support their party. Well, they will until they own that party, and then they own the seats in Congress and so forth. And then you could just kiss the democracy away. What do you have, 52 Muslim countries, and only three of them even have even a remote resemblance to being a democracy? How do you have a democracy if you can only have one religion, and it's Islam? That doesn't work. See, a little common sense here will go a long ways. So that being the case, what does this seem to mean? Well, if things don't change, there isn't any question. But at some point in the future, maybe not the next 5 years or 10 years, but not that far down the road, all Scripture says, basically all the nations turn against Israel. America's been the biggest ally of Israel. And so what would have to happen? That the U.S. essentially becomes a Muslim country. You say it'll never happen. Well, they've said that in Sweden and Denmark and France and UK, and they're all becoming essentially Muslim. They're just taking over the spheres of Western influence because they can. They're being let in by a bunch of knuckleheads that wouldn't recognize a Bible in the Christian bookstore. But if you understand the origin of the religion, you'll understand that you as a Christian, I as a Christian, and any Jews, be they Christian or not, are deemed to be infidels. And the tactic is only a feature of how much control they have. So the big battle over the country is, are we going to be a queer country or are we going to be a Muslim country? Right now, the Muslims, and I will confess that I appreciate them in this one particular sense. Who is it that down in Dearborn, Michigan, stands up against all the woke crapola from the Michigan Department of Education that shows up in the schools? Whether it's the secret abortions, the gender transitioning, all that crap. Who is it that really has stood up? The Muslims. They're the ones that say, you're not doing this to my kids. Look, I may hate your guts and someday I will be your boss, which actually is true from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Read verses 43. The foreigner will rise higher and higher. The native will become lower and lower. The foreigner will become the head. The native will become the tail. Right? They're going to be the boss someday. It's like the kids at Northwestern University used to sing from the grandstands because Northwestern and the Big Ten never had any good teams. Well, for the most part, did not have any good teams to compete. They were too small, very small school, very hard to get in, not something that would draw athletes. So I went to a University of Michigan Northwestern game one time, and there they were chanting, we don't worry. Now I'm forgetting what it is that they said. Okay, it just came to me. I can't believe I was forgetting it. They knew they were going to lose the game because they lost all the games. But from the stands, they would chant, it's all right, it's okay, we will be your boss someday. Because they were smart and they would end up controlling things and be CEOs and so forth. That's kind of the way that it is. They could be... The Islamic world are going to be some bosses. They are getting bolder and bolder as the numbers prove out, whether it's New York City, whether it's Minneapolis, whether it's L.A., whether it's Detroit. They do some things good culturally in the moral department, embarrassingly more than a lot of Christians have the guts to do. And, you know, when California, years back, passed the constitutional amendment prohibiting queer marriage, the passage of that act was largely a feature of Catholic, some evangelical Christian, and Mormon participation. Because the Mormons were active in supporting moral things, which I appreciate them today for that. I think they get the gospel wrong, but and that same thing happens with Muslims. There's some things they do culturally that are okay. But the end game is you're going to have to bow the knee to, you know what? I've said enough on that. I don't need to go any further because I see that I am running out of time. I've covered about 8% of what I plan to cover today. But kind of close with this one piece here that is, no, I don't even have time for that. Oh my gosh. Let me do this. This is sort of a public service announcement. I don't have, I can say, a good news story, but I do have good news from the biggest story of all, from history, which is broken down as his story, the story of Jesus Christ, and our redemption by virtue of his blood and resurrection. So with that, I would encourage my listeners, all the listeners, to read again Psalm 91 and how we don't have to be worried about what arises on our left hand and what arises on the right. Now, there are going to be things, there are going to be prices we have to pay. We just live in that certain time. That it might become, well, will become increasingly demanding. But draw your consolation from Scripture and trusting in God. And I don't know of any passage that seems to bring that out better than the 91st Psalm. And I say that because we have now, just the other day, in addition to everything else we've been sharing on this program, the fact that there is being touted now, by the World Health Organization, a cancer vaccine. That's right. They're talking about it's in the trial stages of, but supposedly these promising results for a vaccine to, I don't know if it's to prevent cancer or to kill it once it started or both. That I am not sure. The article was kind of loose. The product is not coming out of China, though. It's coming out of Russia. And they may have all the legitimate reasons in the world to stop cancer. And I'm not going to judge at this point what country it's coming from. But I will say this. The answer to cancer is not really a vaccine. I mean, why do we have what the cancers we have? Well, there's a lot of causes from mostly bad lifestyle, food, smoking, you name it, go on down the line. But you know how the COVID-19 vaccine turned out. And I can only imagine how many people would rush to be in a line 17 blocks long to get a cancer vaccine. Because it is coming. Not next week, maybe not this year. It is coming, at least the alleged vaccine. Well, are you going to get one? I'm not going to. No. But millions will. Millions upon millions. We're up to what? Pushing 8 billion in the world, so it could be well be in the billions. That will be a cancer vaccine. And of course, it won't be any more of a vaccine than COVID. Just came out yet again, affirmation, confirmation, all that you want to say about it, that they're actually approaching a point where more people are believed to have been killed by the COVID-19 vaccine than from COVID. So, oh, that's a conspiracy theorist. Those conspiracy theories. Well, it's not a theory if it's true, right? Conspiracy theorists are things that you call people things that you don't want to hear or believe. But if you know it to be true, or you want it to believe, then it's not a conspiracy theory. It's true. It's pretty easy. Conspiracy theorists are always somebody else saying or doing something you don't believe or don't want to believe. That's all it comes down to. Not real complex. But I would encourage you, as more of these kinds of things come around, whether it's another COVID-19 variant, because the CDC is out there encouraging yet once again for people to get COVID-19 shots. No. Anything that's connected to an mRNA type of origin, which is what the cancer vaccine is using, is bad news. But it'll always be dressed up like something good. And isn't that Satan's way? You know, here's the candy, but inside the candy is the strychnine. That's what he does. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't let him do that to you, and certainly don't do it to yourself. Understand who is on your side and how privileged you are to bear the mark of a Christian. Because God will deliver you in the time he sees fit to deliver you. And Psalm 91 should keep you in good stead, knowing that you have no one to fear in this life. Not a single person. Hey, God bless you. A little different program. I'll try to finish everything I didn't finish next week, unless it's irrelevant. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Sit tall on the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.